Chris and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
Live. 12:07 here on 77 WABC. You're listening to Curtis and Cosby. And Curtis, I have lost my faith in mankind today. I am really, really upset by what we're about to share with our listeners.
But wait a second. You've lost your faith in what? The political process in the United States? I've lost my faith in that a long time ago. What are you talking about?
No, this is a whole other story, Curtis. And this is the story that so many of us around the country were gripped with. Let's take you back, first of all, because it really all began. It was a feel-good tale. It started last fall when we heard this story, and it happened at a Philadelphia freeway ramp, when supposedly a homeless man who was sleeping under the overpass suddenly gave his last $20 to a woman who was stranded, who ran out of gas. She went all over the news and talked about what happened.
I was driving down 95 and ran out of gas, so I pulled over to the side of the road. He walked up and he said, "Get back in the car, lock the doors, you know, I'll be back."
What a nice guy. Homeless guy apparently gave the last $20 he had, and then she further explained.
Out of gas to help her get back on her way. Wasn't expecting anything in return.
Me and my boyfriend Mark went back the next day. He gave him $100.
I was ecstatic.
So it sounds like this beautiful story. Homeless guy, had nothing, literally basically gave the shirt on his back, Curtis.
Lived under a bridge.
Lived under a bridge. And it just sort of sounded like it was total happenstance. So they said, because of this amazing man, we're going to do a GoFundMe page. And the whole country, many of our listeners got engaged. 14,000 people donated to this GoFundMe page. It drew $402,000. So you said, gosh, let's do whatever we can to help this incredible man get his life back, get a roof under his head. She called him a hero. And I was on the show, Curtis, saying what an amazing man he is, that I wish more people were like him, salt of the earth. And then the tale got a little twisted, because then suddenly the couple looked like a bunch of scammers, because the guy said, wait a minute, they're not giving me the GoFundMe money whatsoever.
Well, that made sense, because clearly this was a couple that never had access to that kind of money before. So the fact that they would be trying to grift it all for themselves and not share it with him, I accepted that part of the story. They figure, hey, he's a homeless guy. You know, we threw him a few dollars. He immediately went out. He drank it away. You know, he smoked it away. He's just dysfunctional. That was their excuse. So I said, okay, I can see how that chasm could take place, and I can see how they would literally try to take all that GoFundMe money for themselves, and that screw the homeless guy. He'd be on the outside looking in. But I never, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us in order to broadcast to all of you. Thank you, NJDiet.com. Could have anticipated what happened next.
Yeah, and boy, by the way, first of all, things got really heated, because that couple, you sort of saw that coming. I didn't see that. I thought, okay, well, they really appreciated it. And they were on the hot seat. They were on with Megyn Kelly.
Have you spent, I know you admit that one time you were with him and you yep. used $500 mm-hmm. from his account at a casino.
Yes.
You say that was with his consent,
yeah,
and that you paid him back.
Yep.
But other than that $500, have you spent $1 of that $400,000
no.
on yourselves?
No.
Nothing?
No.
You're representing that right here and right now. There's never
yes.
going to be any proof that you did.
No.
So well, the whole country was ready to lynch them, Curtis. It was like, whoa.
If he would have been strapped to a lie detector machine, he and his wife or girlfriend would have been blown to kingdom come, smashed to smithereens. I mean, was such an obvious lie there.
But now it gets worse. And this is where, everybody, I have totally lost my faith, because it turns out later today, authorities are expected to announce that they were all in on it. that it was all one big ruse, that apparently this couple, maybe it never even happened. We don't even know if that actually ever happened, where she even ran out of gas or anything, but that they all conspired together, essentially, and it was a big get-rich-quick scheme. And now they're trying to figure out where the money came from, and apparently they are about to be charged with conspiracy, deception, and that the three of them were all in this big, huge scam to get everybody to just tug at their little heartstrings and boo-hoo-hoo. And now I contend, Curtis, that first of all, does this make you lose faith in mankind? Because to me, this was such a beautiful story. You wanted to believe it was real. And now I think we should absolutely throw the book at all three of them. I don't know, but you know, the homeless guy is homeless. Apparently he really legitimately is homeless, but this couple and he should serve time behind bars, and they should do something to make up for the 14,000 people that donated to their GoFundMe page.
Well, that's gone. Yep. That money's gone.
But they need to do something. Maybe it's community service, hard labor, Curtis.
Well, maybe picking garbage up along I-95.
Under the overpass.
Right, while wearing a sign, you know, sandwich board sign that says, "We are the grifters who claim that a homeless guy helped us," and you know, people will be stopping, booing them, giving them grief, in addition to them having to bend over and pick up all the trash, of which there is a lot along I-95. I would say I haven't lost faith in humanity. There's always been grifters. I mean, every day I go into the streets, there's a gypsy woman with a baby claiming the baby is malnutrition. You look at the gypsy woman, boy, she's got fat on a rack. You look at the baby looks healthy. And you say, yeah, that's part of the gypsy culture. You know, they're trying to rip you off. They're
but boy, was this an elaborate scheme, Curtis. Wasn't this like an unbelievable elaborate?
There's no doubt.
This is almost like a scene out of a movie.
There's no doubt. I did not factor in that this homeless guy would be part of this cabal, this trifecta, this troika, this trinity of greed, in which they knew that they could take advantage of everyone's goodwill, especially around the holidays when people love these kind of stories, these feel-good stories. And then what really blew my mind, now that we're beginning to find out these details, is that the homeless guy would blow it up by then suing them, which would then trigger off a lot of other questions that hadn't been asked before. It's almost like it was suicidal on his part, a kamikaze act, because now everything comes to the surface. All three are indictable. All three are culpable.
And you know what's so weird? He sued them because he said they weren't giving him the money. It's not clear yet. And what I'm curious about, did he sue them because legitimately maybe they sort of turned on him and said, okay, we're taking the money even though we schemed together? Or did he sue them so they could block the funds, and maybe because there was getting suspicion around them, so maybe people wouldn't get access to certain things, or some allegation that maybe it was a manipulated lawsuit? I mean, there's so many. To me, what do you think should happen to this couple? What should happen to the homeless guy? And also, are you surprised? Because, yeah, people do scam, and we've seen, like you said, these beggars and a lot of people that are like, or sometimes you see the kids.
Professional, you know, grifters.
Yeah,
professional.
Sometimes you see kids like, hey, my mom doesn't feed me, and meanwhile they're wearing Nike sneakers cookies or whatever. You're like, but this to me was so elaborate and so thought out.
Oh,
it really makes me lose my faith, Curtis. It's so sad.
Let's find out from our many listeners. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Paulie first in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Paulie.
Hey, guys. I've called about this before, and, you know, it's funny because my brother and I, when the story first broke, we were basically – we were a little suspicious about the fact that, you know, first of all, you know, I hate to say it, but the feel-good thing that everybody wants about the fact, the problem is you start giving a lot of money for a feel-good story. It's around the holidays last year, right around the left Thanksgiving or whatever, and people, you know, it's like the kind of thing of, hey, where was the money going? Who was managing it? That's a problem. And then ultimately, you know, I guess they say there's no honor among thieves, but as I saw on the best comment I saw on Twitter was the fact that, at least for the homeless dude, that if he was involved with this and whatever, at least he's going to get his, as you'd say, three hots and a cot, Curtis, you know?
Yeah, so. Yeah, there's no doubt. And clearly this homeless guy has problems, you know, drug addiction, he's an alcoholic. Even when he had some coin in his pocket from the GoFundMe page, he was still living under the bridge.
Right.
Because he was wasting it away on booze and drugs. But to think that they had this so awesomely planned, which required a lot of conniving.
Oh, yeah.
And then he would sue them, which would, it's like it's going to blow it up. It's like, you know, no matter how many beavers try to stop the flow of the water,
right,
it's like dynamite in the dam. It's going to all blow up.
Yeah, well, it's like no honor among thieves. Like, you know,
oh, yeah. One thing I definitely thought was the fact that when people started to say also about the fact that that ramp where she got off was right near, she was claiming to go on to visit a friend, and everybody was saying, well, she's probably picking up her dude, the boyfriend, at the casino where he was gambling. So there's a good chance maybe they just happened to get off at that thing before to get gas or something and might have seen the guy. And then who knows, they might have then thought up the scheme, went to the guy and started piecing it together. But ultimately, when you start interviewing people and there's cameras and their story and this, that, and the other, I mean, ultimately, you know what it's like. It's like once they start piecing things together and you get investigators in there, you know, things start to unravel.
And who knows? Maybe it turns out that the guy's not homeless. Maybe, I mean, who knows how many wild layers there are to this.
Obviously, later today, the indictment is going to be unsealed. We'll probably learn facts about this cabal we hadn't known before.
I'm disgusted, Curtis. I am thoroughly disgusted. Let's go to Paul from South River, New Jersey. Paul, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I'm here. Good morning, everybody.
Hello, Paul. What do you think? This is so shameful, and it's amazing how elaborate and how planned it is.
Well, I don't know if you remember years ago about Oprah. She took a lady off the street. She was homeless. And she gave her a makeover. She gave her clothes. She looked beautiful. And they asked her, now, what do you want to do? And she said, I want to go back to the street. They want to live on the street. Let them live on the street.
Well, that was also, that was very similar to the Billy Boggs story that had occurred when Koch was mayor.
Yep.
This was a woman from New Jersey who left her family. She was living over a grating to keep her warm. It was weather similar to today, you know, where it's freezing outside. Koch would pass her every day from Gracie Mansion, didn't think twice about it, that she was defecating on herself, mumbling. But one day he sees her burning $5 that some good Samaritan had just given to her to get some food.
Right.
And he said, you can't burn money. It's illegal. You must be insane in the brain. And then he immediately committed her to to Bellevue for a psychiatric evaluation. Norman Siegel of the New York Civil Liberties Union jumped in then, took her on the dog and pony show, the Donahue show, everything, got her all nice and clean. And she was very, very vocal. I mean, you said, wow, this woman is intelligent. But she had some severe demons. Norman Siegel even gave her a job. Tried to train her as a paralegal. It didn't work out. And she ended up filtering back into the streets with severe problems. Her family had consistently warned all of us.
Yeah, don't touch this person.
Right. We love her, but she has some really serious issues. She will obviously play to the crowd. That's been her history. But we didn't pay attention to the family. And everybody got taken.
But there are some legitimate homeless cases, like where, and in this case, when you first heard it, you heard homeless veteran, you heard Marine, you're like, oh my gosh, this poor guy, and giving literally, as she said, $20, his last 20 bucks, she had no money on him. She said, I couldn't reimburse him. That's why I set up this GoFundMe. It really was a believable story. And there are sometimes some, I remember talking to a homeless guy one time, Curtis. He had a PhD. And we talked. He was brilliant. I gave him $50. He had tears in his eyes. So sometimes, and then there's the guys who are like, you know, when you give them a sandwich, they're like, no, sorry, I don't like turkey or I don't like roast beef, that are particular and you know are not real homeless. But there are once in a while people, and you wanted to believe that this was. So I say throw the book at all of them because you have to make a huge example. And who knows? Maybe this guy wasn't even homeless. I'd like to know. I'm curious. Did they know each other before this? How far back did the scam start? There are so many layers to the story. Throw the book at
him. We're certainly going to find that out later on today as the indictment is unsealed and the facts begin to leak out about all three having been engaged in this scam to take advantage of all of your generosity out there. And I'm sure some of our listeners were actually contributors to that GoFundMe.
Yeah, what do you think should happen to them if you did donate? Or what do you think, what should be done to reimburse those people, if possible? It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. To the phones we go. We are talking about the scam of all scams. Remember the story of the homeless guy, the Good Samaritan, who tried to help the couple? It sounded like the woman ran out of gas. Well, it turns out Looks like they were all in on it, and they scammed us all. Let's go to Mike from Washington, New Jersey. Mike, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Curtis. Hey, Rita. How you guys doing today?
We're good, but I'm very sad. I feel so taken advantage of. I wanted to believe this guy was a good guy.
Well, why don't we look at it from a different perspective? Why don't we play devil's advocate for a minute? Because what if this couple is, say, implicating this good this gentleman, this homeless vet, as being part of the scam when he's actually not? We don't know all the facts regarding this yet.
Ah, that could be a whole other layer. I like where you're going,
yeah,
Mike.
But I gotta believe, Mike, that if the local DEA is indicting the homeless guy, it's because they've actually found documentary evidence that implicates him, not just sort of rhetoric. You would have to be able to document this, Mike.
Well, you would believe that, but there have been numerous cases, and you know as well, you know, growing up through your time in the city in the 80s, et cetera, how prosecutors go out after people when they don't like them. So, I mean, you never know what the situation is.
Yeah, but there's nothing to be gained here, but Mike. The homeless guy was actually the likable person of the three. The detestable people were the husband and the wife, so they were already the villains. So by taking out, quote, the angelic figure here, the cherub, a DA is actually not necessarily putting any big notches on his belt. It's just that I'm sure the evidence is overwhelming.
Yeah, but I like where Mike is going, that there may be more layers to the tale because, well, boy, are there, like, you could, like, peel this onion. There are so many twists.
Remember, it was maybe 2-3 years ago, cold. A homeless guy was in a kiosk of an ATM box. And he had no shoes. And it was slushy and snowy outside. And there was a cop on the beat in uniform. And he went out and he bought him Timberland boots.
That's right. That's right.
And the guy went home because he was staying at a single-room occupancy hotel. This was all a scam. And he didn't wear the boots anymore because he went out there continuing to scam people by pretending that he had no shoes and that he was shiver me timbers, you know, basically getting pneumonia because he had no covering on his feet.
Oh, yeah, there's so many scams. I told you, when I lived, I went to University of Sevilla in Spain, Curtis, for a year, and I would see this one guy, give him money all the time, and then I finally saw him shopping in the men's department looking at, like, I saw him buying suits. Can you imagine?
Right.
A homeless
guy buying a nice suit. That's a job.
Yeah.
Every day, scamming people was a job. Let's go to Billy, who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Billy.
Hi, Rita. Hi, Curtis. I just want to say to Rita, welcome to the party. I'm so glad you finally realized that the majority of human beings out there suck. They cheat. They lie. They steal.
Welcome to the party. Welcome to reality.
This one story that was a too-good-to-be-true story you think is symbolic of everybody out in society when, in fact, we know that there are a lot of good Samaritans every day who do good deeds and they go unrecognized.
Curtis, let me ask you something. Imagine if you guys on the radio show set up sting operations where you could, like, get people involved in phony scams. How many people do you think you could net up and catch in that net? And right here in New York City.
Well, New York City's
probably
easy.
Probably a lot.
New York City's easy because it's a magnet area for scamsters to come in because you have so many tourists you could take advantage of.
All right, pick a city.
Take a Waterloo. Waterloo, Iowa. You go to the heartland. Yeah, you go to the heartland. You know, you're so jaded, you're so skeptic, Bill.
No, but I agree with you. Different parts of the country, there are, I think, are more genuine people. But I'll tell you, Bill, I still want to believe that they're good people out there because I'm an optimist.
You better be careful with that.
I'm a realist, but I'm also an optimist, and you can't get jaded because you could change somebody's life. I'm not going to, like,
well,
maybe it makes you look into it more, but you got to still do your best.
There are many good people out there. I mean, we never really hear those stories unless they have all the ingredients that the three of these cooked up. The homeless guy, using his last $20 to get gas for the woman who was stranded on I-95. The boyfriend comes back the next day, gives him $100, says, boy, you might have saved my girlfriend's life. It blew up.
The GoFundMe. Can you imagine, Curtis? $402,000 is what was raised. And that, what I am curious, I'm going to be watching that press conference because when did it, like, was it always a scheme? And how much did he really genuinely sue him because maybe they got greedy in the middle of the scheme? Is it like a like an Ocean's 11 with all these twists and turns?
Well, that's
and,
why you know? We'll be waiting with bated breath later on in the day when all the details emerge from the unsealed documents. Meantime, right now, let's get our news headlines and updates.
Size, French fries, how they love tomatoes. So dress them up with Heinz ketchup. Ketchup loves potatoes.
Ketchup loves potatoes. 77 WABC. And Curtis, believe it or not, that is the official ketchup song that we are playing here on Curtis and Cosby. And we're playing it because to me, this is so PC, totally run amok. Now, a Long Island school district is putting a quota, putting a cap on the amount of ketchup packets that kids could have. And I think back of all the times, like when I was in school, listen, I'm guilty. I still even do it now. I'll have a hamburger or a cheeseburger or whatever it is, and I'll smear a lot of like ketchup or mayo or whatever else on. But sometimes that's the way you get kids to eat it. And to me, this is absolutely ridiculous. It is because the state is putting some caps on the amount of sugar and salt that kids can have. And the assistant superintendent said, listen, we basically didn't have a choice.
The state enforces that we have to limit salt and sugar, sodium and sugar intake. It is a health issue. In my house, ketchup is a vegetable.
Ketchup is a vegetable. Now, I'm trying to figure that out because in New Jersey, they say the tomato is a fruit. So it's the tomato that is the bulk of ketchup. So how would it be a vegetable in his house? Wouldn't that be sort of like a marmalade, right? I mean, fruity, right?
Fruity, although I think I'm actually surprised that tomato is the bulk of ketchup. A lot of it is sugar.
There's no doubt. But let's face it. When you think of ketchup, whether it's Heinz or Del Monte or any generic brand, you think of it being made out of tomato. And in New Jersey, it's a fruit. So it'll be like a marmalade, right?
Like a marmalade.
Not a vegetable.
Yeah. So, right. You get it right. And that's, I guess, basically what they're saying. In fact, this is kind of, they say in a packet of ketchup, which now they're only going to give one or two to kids.
It's a pain in the neck, those packets. I hated those packets
ever
since.
Or the little pump.
The pump is fine. The packets are horrible. First off, you always get it on your clothes. There's no way of avoiding it.
Wait, how do you get it on your clothes?
Because how do you open up the packet? It's not easy to open up. Most people use their teeth to open up the packet.
I pass it on to someone like you to open it, and then I open it.
But
then I don't get it on me, I get it on you.
The packets are so difficult, whether it's mustard, mayonnaise, or ketchup. The condiments should be in a pump. And this way you just pump. It's like when you go to Nathan's Famous in Coney Island, right? They have the big vats with the pump on it.
But they're limiting the pumps, too.
Because, no, I understand
because
that.
They're limiting everything. And in fact, by the way, you know, as you talk about, those packets, Curtis, have 20 calories in a packet. I never thought about it, I'm sure. And it says 7% of your annual intake of sodium is in one of those little ketchup.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt. You know? It's mostly salt and mostly sugar.
But I like, to me, I think it is absolute. This is so PC run amok that they're saying, okay, kid, you can have only one or two little of mayo, one or two little mayo of mustard, one or two of ketchup. This is absurd. And listen, a lot of parents out there, including the parents in the school district, are not happy.
I don't see people abusing ketchup. Maybe it's a gateway condiment. I don't know, but I don't think so.
It is a gateway condiment. I'll
like,
explain.
Curtis, like a gateway drug,
the way
they describe marijuana.
When the president was preparing for his first overseas visit to Saudi Arabia, a chief of staff at that time, I believe it was Kelly, indicated that the president would be dining on steak, but he would have to have Heinz ketchup with the steak. That was one of the requirements of his dietary intake on his trip. And we know the president,
I understand that.
The president loves ketchup on his meat products, not even steak sauce, which I can't understand why you would put steak sauce on a good steak, but some gavones do. But ketchup, he would put on a tenderloin steak or a sirloin steak. And kids grow up putting ketchup on everything. I've even seen ketchup put, like a gavone like Christian, a hipster millennial, would put ketchup on his Fruit Loops cereal.
But you know what? I think ketchup, first of all, I agree. If it's a good steak, you don't need to put a condiment in. But that's why, and I'm telling you, when you travel around the country, sometimes you want to have those ketchup packets handy because the food is so disgusting. And to go to the effort to tell kids, sometimes that's the only way you can get kids to like eat chicken, to eat steak, to eat certain vegetables. If that's the only way they're going to do it, then I say smear it on. Smear it on, baby. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222.
I couldn't believe one of these parents out in Long Island said it's a civil rights issue to have ketchup in a condiment package.
You're taking their rights away. My daughter, for instance, she puts ketchup all over her chicken. So to get her to eat her chicken, she's got to have the ketchup.
I think it is a right. I think parents, come on. We are getting so PC where, like, you think that kids are going to want to eat some dried out chicken? Half the time, when you look at that food, it is so disgusting. If you don't put ketchup on it, I wouldn't eat it.
Go back to the old days where you had a box of lunch for your kids and not pimp off to taxpayers. Because in a lot of these school districts, like in New York City, everybody gets a free lunch.
You're taking their rights away.
Yeah, I'm taking their rights away.
But I, as an adult, also eat it. But Curtis, I also will schmear. I'm guilty of like getting something, and sometimes I'll get a burger, I'll take the bun off.
Understood.
And, but then I'll like load the ketchup or load the mayo. I know, but sometimes if the food isn't good, it just makes it. I don't like to eat like Shawshank Redemption.
Well, let's go to the phones. 1-800-848-WABC. It's Ben out in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Now, usually you put ketchup to hide the taste, right?
A lot of times, but sometimes I just like it. I don't like a dried out. Sometimes it tastes like it's like your prison food, you know?
Yeah, I would put it on top of my wife to hide the taste, you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean? When your wife is serving you meatloaf, you load up?
On top of her.
Ben sounds frisky city. Ben, let me just ask you. Do you put ketchup, relish, and mayo, or is it just ketchup?
If it hides the taste, I'll do it.
Ben.
Ben strikes me as a whipped cream kind of guy.
Ben. I want to know, what does she put on you? The back of her hand? What does she put on you at that moment?
Let's go to Elliot, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis. And Rita Cosby here, WABC. Elliot.
Hi, Elliot.
Thank you so much. I don't know, a lot of your listeners are not going to remember this, but the cover of Time magazine, October 12, 1982, President Reagan declared ketchup as a vegetable for every single school lunch in the United States.
I do remember. Yep.
And that same issue of Time magazine has a full-page ad from the CIA recruiting agents.
Yep. But meantime, you didn't believe Ronald Reagan then, nor do you believe it in post-Reagan times. Ketchup is not a vegetable.
No, it's not. Ketchup is, we call it tomato reduction in my house.
Tomato reduction. I
call it food saver, because sometimes the worst food just tastes so much better, Elliot.
You're right, Rita, 100%. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you.
I still want to find out how Christian was putting ketchup on his Fruit Loops.
You're taking their rights away.
Well, because he's a Fruit Loop kind of guy. If you see him mentally.
He's a Fruit Loop trooper.
That's what I'm saying. He associates mentally with Fruit Loops.
Let's go to Pete, who's calling from Connecticut. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Hey, how's it going, Rita? How's it going, Curtis?
Good. What do you think of ketchup?
I don't know. This is getting crazy, this world. I don't know. You know, I got a five-year-old that my wife will make teriyaki chicken, and he has to put ketchup on it to eat it. But she'll, like, heat up some, like, chicken tenders from, like, you know, the box, and he'll, I don't want any ketchup. It's pretty funny. So, and it totally irks her out. But, you know, I don't know. People are getting crazy. I mean, if the kids want to put ketchup on their chicken or whatever, I mean, who cares?
That's what I feel like. Pete, I can tell you.
You're taking their rights away.
Yeah, the sugary drinks and all the other crazy stuff that's in the food, that's the least of it, you know.
All right, but Pete, why don't we actually check to see how much sugar and salt that Heinz or Del Monte or some generic brand is putting in ketchup or mayonnaise or mustard in order to entice you? It, like, addicts you. You get addicted to the sugar. You get addicted to the salt. Get addicted to the ketchup.
Course. Of course, but I mean that's an age old question that, you know, the sugar industry, they don't even put the percentage on the packages.
Yeah, but that's what
it's an even bigger issue.
Right, but to me it's sort of like, okay, you want a package of ketchup out there, a little packet, Let's find out exactly how much ketchup is in there as opposed to loaded up with sugar and salt, and then the kids are bouncing all over the walls in the classroom and claiming they have attention deficit disorder.
Yeah, I mean, put the information there. But I also think, to me, and Pete, just like you were saying, I'm guilty because I remember when I was a kid in school, and even now I'm guilty sometimes of loading up because, especially if you get some dry, slathery thing, which half the time when I was in school, I didn't know what they were serving, if it was chicken, meat, or something else. You'd want to cover it just to get through it.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Donnie in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita. Donnie.
Hi, Don.
Hey, good afternoon. In a similar parallel, Doug Sittel, S-I-T-T-E-L on Google.
Oh, my gosh. The old Google.
See, he bamboozled Christian. That's 2 days in a row, Christian.
Well, Christian's easy to get fooled.
No, Christian is thinking about putting ketchup. Well, catsup, as they call it.
You're taking their rights away.
On Fruit Loops, because he's a real Fruit Loop trooper.
Yeah, that sounds really... By the way, I would put it on a lot of things. I would not put it on
anyway,
my breakfast.
I
that's
insist
gross. Hash browns I would put it on.
Right, we pursue this because I believe that ketchup is a gateway condiment.
Like a gateway drug.
I don't see people abusing ketchup. Maybe it's a gateway condiment. I don't know.
It
but
is.
I don't think so.
It is.
Yeah, we're addicted, baby.
Starts
we're addicted.
And then you have battles over the mayonnaise. Should it be Hellman's? Should it be Kraft? Or should it be Miracle Whip?
Or no, you mix it. Now there's, what is it? What is it called? Mayo ketchup or mayo chip or something? Remember we did the story? They've come. I am all for slathering if it helps you get through it.
Let's go to Tony, who's calling from Fort Lee. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Tone.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Rita and Curtis? You know, I'm guilty. I put ketchup even on my pasta. And I think you're overestimating when you say that it's got sugar, the kids are going to bounce off the walls. It's caffeine that makes kids bounce off the walls. Sugar doesn't do that.
Oh, yes, it does.
By the way,
you're taking their rights away.
It's minuscule in the amount of ketchup. It's not. You're not drinking a whole glass of soda.
Tony? How do you know that? Are you a nutritionist? Are you like a so-called Dr. Savage?
My wife's a pharmacist.
Okay, pharmacist. I'm sure. Wait a second. It's a pharmacist. She's analyzing the ingredients in a packet of ketchup.
There's no caffeine in ketchup.
We're not talking about caffeine. Sugar. Sugar makes kids bounce
all
over the walls.
Sugar does not make you bounce off the wall. Does it make you bounce off the wall? Sugar
No. Sugar keeps you nice, cool, calm, and collected.
You're taking
Prozac, right?
Yeah, yikes. Let's real quick go to Mike from Bronx. Mike, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi. In an old James Cagney movie, Cagney wanted to impress this guy, you know, in an office, and he heard the guy likes ketchup, so the guy invites him over for tea, has some sandwiches, and the guy pours ketchup on his sandwiches. So Jimmy Cagney says, "Can I borrow that ketchup?" And he puts it in his tea. Well, the guy tries it. He says, "That's great." He says, "You're my kind of guy, Jim."
Wow. Well, you know what? See, there is ketchup for everybody. That's the moral of the story.
Americans are addicted to ketchup. And it's not because they like tomatoes. It's because they like that extra jolt you get from salt and sugar. It's worth pursuing. 1-800-848-WABC. Remember yesterday we talked about the Amazon headquarter deal in which Ocasio-Cortez was opposed to it. So naturally, many of you in a knee-jerk reaction were for it. Well, now, all of a sudden, a day later, as I had predicted, Amazon's headquarters deal with Cuomo and de Blasio has brung conservatives and Ocasio-Cortez together on this issue. And I wonder if I'm going to get any apologies from the many callers who are saying, "Oh, what are you, a communist, Sliwa? What are you, a socialist?"
I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had.
7 minutes after the hour one.
I want to be on the cover.
As we're high atop Madison Square Garden in these great facilities in which we're hunkered down awaiting the inclement weather, the possible snow and sleet that's coming our way. We are hermetically sealed in by NJDiet.com. In order to do this broadcast to all of you on 50,000 powerful watts of sound. And you heard that Bruno Mars song. I hate him. I despise him. I loathe Bruno Mars. But that was probably a tune that young Jeff Bezos was singing to himself when he was slinging burgers in a Mickey D's. He was actually a burger guy, making burgers in a nearby McDonald's where he grew up in. That was his first taste in the business community. And you know the rest of the story. World's richest man with one of the richest corporations in the world, Amazon. And he just keeps growing and growing and growing. And then 48 hours ago, Rita, it was announced by Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, and his Supreme Cuisine friend for the day, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, Bill de Blasio, that they had negotiated a deal to bring Amazon and its half headquarters, because they had decided eventually they would do a split, Medzi Medzi Poco Poco, half outside of Washington, D.C. in Virginia, half in Long Island City. And to the tune of $3 billion in subsidies, Amazon would create 25,000, maybe more jobs, and be a real boom for the economy of New York City. And I noticed at that point that Republicans, conservatives were cheering this, claiming, hey, yeah, yeah, this is going to be good. Moderate Democrats were cheering it. And yet the Democrats, who are described as being liberals and socialists, were opposed to it.
Yeah, you had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It doesn't get any more liberal than that. Well, the youngest member of Congress from our area who was saying, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's her district. So she weighed in and she said, this is a bad deal. This is not good. We're subsidizing one of the richest corporations in the world and one of the richest, well, the richest guy in the world. Not good. And immediately there was a knee-jerk reaction. Well, if she's against it, we got to be opposed to it. We got to be supporting Bezos and Cuomo and de Blasio and this cabal.
Yeah, they thought it was sort of like the socialist issue, and it turned out, wait, it's not.
So all of a sudden, on national talk TV, I had associated myself and supported Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
That's a shocker.
In being opposed to this.
Right, right, right. But in general, that's a shocker because you and I don't necessarily always agree with them.
But I always listen. I give everyone their due. I want to hear what your opinion is, and then I'll make up my mind for myself. But I, early on, was supporting her in her opposition to Amazon coming to LIC, and Brett Winterbull ripped me a new tuchus.
I just want you to keep something in mind, Curtis Lee, where you're on the same side as Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez.
And boy, I was catching grief. Catching grief. People were emailing me, texting me here on our show. They were lambasting me. Some of our fellow colleagues here at WABC said, what the hell are you doing? And just to give you a little flavor of that, listen to one of our callers yesterday.
But Curtis, I love you to pieces, I really do, but you get more left-wing all the time. How much revenue is 25,000 jobs going to create for the city?
So I heard this all day, and yep. I kept saying, this is about corruption. This has nothing to do about job development. Since when? Everyone should have just used common sense. Cuomo and de Blasio don't get along. All of a sudden, they're swapping spits, sucking each other's face in as if they were long-lost buddies.
Yeah,
or,
and patting each other on the back and saying, kudos, kudos. But I will take a bone with you because I am very skeptical because of the process that it was taking, Curtis, because it was done secret. There's obviously much more to the story. But I'm willing to see if it does some good things ultimately to the community.
Yeah, but that means it gets into progress, and once it starts, you can't turn back the hands on the clock.
Yeah, that's why if they do want to stop it, they got to start doing it now. You're right, because once it starts going, you can't turn that around.
So here it is. We have all these folks who are saying, oh, if you're for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on this issue, you're a communist, you're a socialist.
Those were the nice things
they
said.
You're anti-capitalist. And they were
Curtis,
lumping,
the, Curtis, those were the
right,
nice things they said about you.
They were lumping me into that. And then, whoa, lo and behold, it was a conservative tsunami, first in yesterday's New York Post editorially condemning this deal, and then Tucker Carlson on the Fox News channel last night. This wasn't Curtis Sliwa, idiots out there who attacked me. This was Tucker Carlson with his bow tie. He's now a conservative. When he was at MSNBC years ago, he was a liberal. Now he's a conservative. Listen to what the conservative said.
Well, new Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had this to say today, quote, Amazon is a billion-dollar company. The idea that it will receive hundreds of millions of dollars in tax breaks at a time when our subway is crumbling and our communities need more investment, not less, is extremely concerning to residents here. Hate to admit it, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has a very good point.
Ah, so now we can begin our conversation.
Now you feel you've cleared the air. No. Is that
what I'm saying is everybody out there is so locked into their own ideology. If you're a Democrat, anything the Republicans say is bad. If you're a Republican, anything the Democrats say is bad. And you never bother to actually just stop, listen to what the people say, and come to your own conclusions. You know, you have free minds, free souls, to make your own decisions instead of just being a parrot. So now, maybe some people are beginning to understand when Curtis says, if Cuomo and de Blasio were involved in this in a backroom deal, two men who were within a half inch of getting indicted by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District for kickbacks and corruption, are you going to trust these guys not to get kickbacks and not to corrupt the process?
Well, that's why it absolutely does need to be investigated.
Well,
I agree with you on
let's
that, Curtis,
because
I'm telling you, there is something so fishy that it didn't go through the city council, didn't go through the state legislature. It was rush, no discussion, no open books. It was not transparent. So there is something fishy.
That's because people, they just want to come to a conclusion based on somebody's ideology instead of looking at all the facts. 1-800-848-WABC. They call that jury nullification, people. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Joel, who's calling from the Bronx. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Joel.
Hi, Joel.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Rita. Longtime listener. Wish the best for you. Happy Thanksgiving Day to you and your family.
Thank you. You are our first person to wish us happy Thanksgiving. Thank you, Joel.
Always,
we love that.
I've been listening to you guys. Let me tell you something. Pataki, Cuomo, they've done these deals before. Cuomo gives $45 million upstate in Watertown. The deal went south. They didn't produce any job. The door was closed. This is more than $1.5 billion. I already called my buddies in Buffalo, Watertown. They are all against. This is going to impact on the state budget. Forget about New York City that is going to lose. The budget of the state will be impacted.
All right,
why
and
do
Joel,
we have to give up this money?
Right, Joel, consider that we have a controller, DiNapoli, who is not overseeing this. Why not? Why isn't he involved in the process? It's state dollars. It's our sucker taxpayer dollars. And the guy who negotiated this has nine of his cronies, led by Joe Piccolo,
right,
going to jail. Nine. Because they shook down tax dollars in the Buffalo Billions deal.
And you've got the Democrats that it's in their district that are upset with it. They feel left out. I mean, you would think that they would talk to the local officials and make sure that they were on board. They are not on board. There's a lot of questions.
Let's go to Sal in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Salvatore.
Hi, Sal.
Yeah, hi, guys. Happy Thanksgiving, I guess, too.
Thank you. Our second one, Curtis, our second one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Comrade Ocasio-Cortez, we're not agreeing with her. She's just right for once, like a broken clock. So basically my thought on this whole thing is that I'm trying to figure out, de Blasio wants to raise taxes on millionaires and not on billionaires. And I was in Seattle, where Amazon started off. You can't stop walking once without a bunch of homeless guys accosting you, selling you mixtapes, who knows what, needles and who knows what else on the street. You want New York to look like that?
So you're saying that obviously the home over there, they did nothing for that area, and they're not going to do anything for us.
It's a cause, because people came in to Seattle looking for those cheap jobs, not having the housing for them because the prices went up because they were bringing in expensive tech jobs.
Oh, that's interesting. So it served as a lure and then unfulfilled promises and outpriced them.
Very liberal progressive city council in Seattle recently wanted to raise the corporate taxes.
Yep.
To cover the maintenance of all the increasing number of homeless people strewn all over the streets. And you know what Jeff Bezos, Mr. Liberal Progressive's attitude was? Go ahead and we'll move. We've got 280 schmucks. I mean, 280 cities. He'd be more than happy to have us move our world headquarters from Seattle, from the latte sippers, to a place somewhere in America where they'll pay us to come.
Yeah,
they'll pay us billions to come.
By the way.
And you know, Seattle backed off. They didn't raise those taxes.
But that's the way they play. Now, this is interesting. CBS is reporting, Curtis, this is, and you didn't really think about this, but you triggered it by what you were just saying. that in their search to figure out where these two cities are going to be, and obviously it's Crystal City, Virginia, and obviously our area in Long Island City, that they got all these proposals. And now people are wondering, what are they going to do with all this data? Because they got a lot of sort of internal data when people were wooing them, the cities, the zoning issues, population, demographic, infrastructure, personal data. So you have to think about, now they have like this huge,
well,
you know, cave of data.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. The deal indicates that the city and the state can't let us know anything.
Well, I think what happened is Amazon, which is, this is outrageous in and of itself, Amazon required governments to commit to secrecy on negotiations about massive public investment. So think about that. A private company told the state and city governments that they can't tell the people that they represent what's going on with their dollars. It's insanity.
So none of these details can be revealed to any of us who are paying for this.
But the gods of Amazon get it.
Well, remember, if you're Jeff Bezos, as much as I hate him, and I really do, he wants to control the world, why wouldn't you take $3 billion from suckers, you know, taxpayers in New York? Particularly if all the people asking you to come were saying is, we want you to contribute to our political efforts because I, Cuomo, want to be the next president.
Which is what,
and
you,
de Blasio.
Which is what you think it's all about.
Oh, it's corruption.
And by the way, if that is the case, because there's been so much attention, that will come out. I mean, because there are so many people who are so furious that Walmart didn't come here, this is coming here, and the fact that it was done so secret that I think that they will be under the microscope. And I hope we find out if that's what it is about.
Let's just hypothetically imagine that Walmart Corporation, richest corporation in the world.
Conservatives, the Walton family.
Decided that they wanted to set up an administrative headquarters, not a headquarters where they ship products out of, a warehouse. Administrative headquarters in Long Island City, because, as de Blasio had said, there were a lot of skilled workers in the area. They would be told, no. Oh, no, I don't care. Walmart, you want to pay us to come into that? No, we're blocking Walmart because of their anti-union. They don't pay a living wage. Gee whiz, anti-union, that's Amazon, doesn't pay a living wage.
That's why I think, Curtis, Walmart should right now file suit against the city. I don't want my city tied up, but I'm telling you, they actually have a very compelling case because they could say, hey, wait a minute, tell me again what the criteria was for Amazon that we didn't meet. Give me a break.
Let's go to Rob in Freeport. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Bobby.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you? Well, let's look at it. Our governor wants and wanted and did get reelected, right?
Overwhelmingly.
Yes.
But yet there was no talk, nothing squeaked out in any way to show that there was anything coming out about this deal. I would say that you were saying that Amazon said, this is our deal, you can't say anything. But I think that the reason why you didn't get anything squeak out in any way, because everything always seems to squeak out no matter what goes on, right? But in this case, nothing squeaked out, because I think that there was shenanigans.
Of course.
Oh, clearly. Rob. Come on, Rob.
Put Bezos aside. Just say the word Cuomo and de Blasio, both who almost got indicted for kickbacks. They should have been indicted, almost. You think all of a sudden they're going to give up their corrupt ways? They're like addicted to shaking down contributors. You scratch my belly, I scratch yours. Hey, Jeff Bezos, we give you a sweetheart deal. We give you money that's not ours but belongs to the sucker taxpayers, and then you kick back to us.
But it is interesting what he was just saying, what Bob was just saying, is the fact that here it was such a very public, you know, race that we covered so much here on our show on Curtis and Cosby.
Well, because the governor never mentioned that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Clearly, there was no reference. It is so suspicious. And when you have local officials saying we were cut out of the process, clearly there's something fishy. There's something that stinks.
When we put it out on Twitter at the start of the program, where many of you were savaging me as the twin brother of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Because we like to savage you. That's why. It's more fun that way.
Right. It was 50-50. Save the savaging for Michael Savage, who follows. But now it's 80-20. 80 say no. 20 say yes. How did that Twitter number changed by 30% within a matter of 24 hours, ladies and gentlemen. Or maybe you heard other conservatives saying, this is a bad deal. And now all of a sudden you say, maybe I should think for myself. Maybe I should look at the details. Maybe I should look at the participants and not always jump from one conclusion to the other. Because somebody says, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is for it, so I got to be against it. 1-800-848-WABC. So Cuomo and de Blasio sucking face, swapping spit, saying they made the deal of our lifetime with Jeff Bezos and Amazon to bring him to Long Island City. Let's go to Jack, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, good afternoon. Okay, Curtis, I have a theory on this, and it's something you talk about. I'm thinking that de Blasio fast-tracked this because in anticipation of weed becoming legalized, so he knows he's going to get his package quick, his bushel of the green stuff, when he wants it, with no delay.
Now, Jack, you know, that is incredible that you've connected the dots because
really incredible.
The way it is now, his Rasta supplier, when he was city councilman in Park Slope, brought him the Hindu Kush. He somehow gets it to him at Gracie Mansion right on the East River. But, you know, Bezos wants everything delivered by drones.
Yeah, or a helicopter. Remember, he's got his helicopter flying in.
Right, so Jack, he could deliver that Hindu Kush door-to-door from Amazon headquarters, right, in Long Island City. We're going to build him a helipad right across the East River to Gracie Mansion.
There it is. Hey, you know, Jack, you missed one other link. We have the El Chapo is in New York, too. So you missed that tentacle to it, you know?
Oh, de Blasio is probably mourning the loss of El Chapo because it could be his, you know, he's not going to get the really good stuff that he used to like to get.
See, right. There you go.
So up next, we're going to continue talking about the Amazon ripoff of us sucker taxpayers and the corruptive deal made by Cuomo and de Blasio, who hate one another, to bring them here to Long Island City. But first, let's get our news headlines and updates. All of you were so quick to want to turn and support Cuomo and de Blasio, the two crooks, simply because you heard that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman in the area where Amazon would have its new headquarters in Long Island City, was opposed to it. And then you saw the rabble, the mob, the protesters there yesterday as they hit the barricades, led by their city councilman, Jimmy Van Bramer.
That it may be cold outside, but I am steaming mad that the governor and the mayor have decided to throw Jeff Bezos almost $3 billion in subsidies and tax breaks.
Give it to the people!
And throw in a helipad so he doesn't have to take the damn 7 train.
Oh, yeah. But
can you imagine him taking the 7 train? Yeah. That will be the day.
But these are liberals and progressives. So naturally, a lot of you immediately, you took exception to what they were saying instead of listening to him as he described the problems just a few feet away in America's largest public housing project, called Queensbridge, that some of you are looking at as you're crossing the 59th Street Bridge.
You can almost see Queensbridge from here. We have a public housing crisis. Just this morning, several residents contacted us to say there's no heat in Queensbridge. But somehow, folks who consider themselves progressive Democrats have seen fit to throw $3 billion at the richest man in the world.
You know, he's got a good point. By the way,
I do
think you're never going to get these public houses. Maybe some of them, and that would be a good thing if they get involved in this Amazon with the 25,000 plus jobs. But I really find it that they're not necessarily the people they're looking for. In fact, it was very funny, Curtis, because I saw a story today. It made me laugh that people are predicting that Long Island City is going to be the worst place for singles to date, especially particularly women, to find a date, because it said that it's going to be all these sort of like super tech geeks that are now going to transplant into Long Island City and make that average of whatever it is, $150,000
a year. The mayor said you're spewing propaganda.
That's right.
This is going to benefit all New Yorkers.
And we've made clear to Amazon, those jobs need to go to everyday New Yorkers. Those jobs need to go to CUNY students or City University students. Those jobs need to go to public housing residents. As a progressive, I think that's what we're here to do, create economic opportunity for a lot of folks who have not had enough.
So what's your prediction, Curtis? I think 5% will maybe go to those people.
Not even.
You don't even think 5?
Look at the failed public school system. Even if they make CUNY, two-year college, junior college, or four-year college, many of the graduates of the public high school system, they have to get remedial training. They got to go back and learn high school subjects because they were just pushed through social promotion.
And these are pretty state-of-the-art, too, with Amazon. It's not like you're going to bring the homeless guy or somebody in a public housing to make $150,000.
A complete lie. Conservatives, liberals need to be united in saying no.
Well, that's why right now, Curtis, they really need to put the pressure on to say, okay, if the deal is done, and again, I agree, there's ways to block it for sure. And I think Walmart should go after them. I think all
Walmart's
the local.
Walmart's not going to go after
Well,
them.
They should. And some of the others, because they actually have a good case, I think, because, hey, you wouldn't let us in. What, we didn't get, you know, we didn't offer you some sweetheart deal?
No, because they were conservative and Republicans.
That's what I'm saying.
Ideology.
But that's what I'm saying. I think we need to peel the onion, find out what happened.
Let's go to Mike in the Bronx. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing, guys? Pleasure to talk to you. I'm a union member in the trades in New York City. I want to know where Gary LaBarbera is with the big rat.
Wait a second. Now, Mike, you know the unions don't want to offend Cuomo because they get a lot of work through Cuomo with all these capital improvement projects. So they're probably biding their time. But you're absolutely right, because Amazon is not a union shop.
Yeah, they're not going to get anything.
Does not pay living wages.
We're going to get absolutely nothing from this project, number one. And number two, right now, I'll just give you, I'm sure you know, right now in the high-rise trades, in the building trades in New York, we got 21% of the work. The rest of the work is non-union.
Yeah, but so, you know what, Mike? The union should actually. Mike brings up a great point, Curtis. No, but
read
the, but
it, read it, read
obviously
it.
Why?
Rita, are you so hopelessly naive? Cuomo has them in his back pocket.
Obviously, but that's what I'm saying. It's so
Since when
blatant.
Do you think that the union chiefs represent their members?
Obviously, but that's what I'm saying. It is so blatant, the fact that they would, you would assume that they would
Rita,
be the first ones to rise up, and because they haven't,
let me connect this.
It's
for you.
Very suspicious.
Let me connect it for everybody again.
Yeah, we
this
got.
About,
I got. Not that part,
this
my friend.
Is about corruption. This is about kickbacks to union presidents.
So now prove it. Don't just accuse it. Prove it.
I'm telling you. This is the history of New York City and New York State.
So prove it. If
Cuomo's
it's, because
getting
you know
kickbacks.
What? It's going to be blatant.
De Blasio's
if it happens.
Getting kickbacks. The union chiefs, to shut up, are going to get kickbacks. Just
right.
like when the mob used to give them kickbacks so that they wouldn't set up a picket line.
But that's why, because there are so many layers to this, Curtis, will hopefully be easy to prove.
It's simple.
Hopefully. And that's why I think it's interesting, because yesterday, and you heard me on the air yesterday, I was a little more like, listen, pro jobs, pro this, pro that. I was skeptical. I am much more skeptical now in the last 24 hours. Now that I find out that it was a secret cloak and dagger deal, and when you see how many Democrats in the area are upset about it, you would think the fact that they were not included. I actually think that if something happened, and I do believe there probably is something here, it will be proven, because there are so many people who
Doesn't
are
matter.
Furious.
The deal is done. They're going to move ahead.
I think you can block
they're gonna
it.
Put, they're going to put the first spades in the ground with the dirt.
They're going to try to do it in 24 hours.
I'm telling you. And you know something? A lot of these Democrats who are pretending to be in an opposition to it now, they're all over, because Cuomo will threaten them, and so will de Blasio. Let's go to Brian in Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys, what's going on? So this deal is just the most corrupt thing ever. The whole secrecy thing just reeks. I mean, de Blasio and Cuomo hate each other, but they can somehow come to an agreement on this. I mean, it's pretty obvious that something's going on.
Yeah, and the question, that's why I think we can prove it, Brian, because I think it's so sort of blatant and fishy. There's enough people that hopefully are genuinely upset that they can make it happen.
Well, Well, they just ran this through. No city council. It's a $3 billion kickback. There's absolutely no city council. They did it on their own.
Right.
So obviously this is a mess. And the other thing, too, is they're saying 25,000 jobs in 10 years. Who's going to hold them accountable? They just got a secret deal from the government. What's to stop them?
Well,
what's in that secret?
Brian, in addition to what you're talking about, which is all true, nobody can hold them accountable. Listen to what this sweetheart deal included. That meant Cuomo signed off on it, de Blasio signed off on it with Jeff Bezos.
Well, I think what happened is Amazon, which is, this is outrageous in and of itself, Amazon required governments to commit to secrecy on negotiations about massive public investment. So think about that. A private company told the state and city governments that they can't tell the people that they represent what's going on with their dollars. It's insanity.
Now, think about that, Brian. It's our money, the $3 billion.
Big money.
And our governor and our mayor, by signing this agreement, is precluded from explaining to us where the money's going. It's just,
if that was anything else, they would be the, Cuomo would be the first one up in arms if this was like Trump or somebody up in arms about this. It's unbelievable. Why can't we sue them?
Well, now let's see.
They're not representing us.
All right, but Brian, this is where hot air must disappear, and someone in the elective process, you got a controller in New York, DiNapoli, who's been quiet. Notice Scott Stringer, who has a press conference today, Brian. Has he said anything, the city controller?
Right. No, he has not. You're right. He's been mum.
Because, you know, they may have gotten sweetened, too. Their beak is in the trough. Yeah,
but
the
silence,
corruption.
But the secrecy, that is exactly what you just talked about. That's what's turned me, because when you hear that, you tell me a $3 billion deal, it didn't have to go through all the approval processes.
I understand that, but
shame
you got
on
a
them.
State controller, DiNapoli, who is supposed to oversee the state tax dollars. You got a city controller, Scott Stringer. It is 48 hours later, and they're quiet.
Now, didn't the Reform Party back DiNapoli?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so where's the Reform Party now, my friend? You go after and say, well, hey, wait a minute, where's the answer?
Me, Rita, what did I just do? Did anybody know that about DiNapoli? I reveal to
That's
everybody
why
right
I'm,
now.
I'm very proud
that
of you,
our
my
candidate,
friend, for doing
obviously,
that.
Is corrupt in this process, as is Scott Stringer, because there's silence. The people who control the purse strings, who would have to sign the checks. Remember, Cuomo doesn't sign the check.
Right.
De Blasio doesn't sign the check. The controller of the state of New York and the city of New York would have to sign these subsidies.
Well, that's why there needs to be now a pressure in saying, huh? How did you sign off on this? Exactly.
Well, they're going to claim, well, we're doing an investigation. We're checking the facts.
Right.
Bull feathers. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jake, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Jake.
Hi, Jake.
Hi, guys. Happy Thursday.
Thank you. It's not so happy, I think, for Long Island City in New York, but go ahead, Jake.
It's very, very sad. This whole thing stinks. You have two basic scumbags running this deal under the table. Long Island City residents, within 5 years, are not going to be able to afford their rent. 70% of the population there is not close to making what the rent is going to go up due to this project going to happen. If they really wanted to help New York State, he could have took the $3 billion and gave it to 30,000 small businesses, $100,000 line of credit. And that would have produced 100,000 more jobs in New York State.
Jake, I hear you. By the way, I do worry about the rising rents and moving people out. And you're right. And I also, you look at other cities where Amazon has been, it has not necessarily helped the cities.
Like Walmart, it kills mom and pop shops. It kills mid-sized businesses.
But give the money, I think, you know, give the, at least, that's why I don't understand.
No,
I understand why,
say,
but they should have spent the money on fixing transportation,
say,
give the cops public housing. Come on.
Read it.
No, it ain't. I'm just saying it should have happened.
Let's just say that the announcement was that they wanted to set up this half headquarters in Utica, New York, where there are no jobs. I think I'd be more open-minded to that. Say,
yes.
Finally,
they're
coming
bringing
up with
jobs,
a plan,
right?
Instead of all these Cuomo scams that have resulted in kickbacks to his cronies, nine of whom are going to jail for the Buffalo Billions. Our $1 billion, they ripped it off. They're going to jail. Cuomo is exempt, and now we're trusting him to handle a $3 billion subsidy program in which he and his cronies will get kickbacks? Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. As we discuss the Amazon deal, to the phones we go, Rita, and it's Sandy who's calling from Westchester. Welcome to WABC, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Yeah, hi, guys. Listen, as soon as I heard de Blasio and Cuomo are together on something, I knew it wasn't something what wasn't good. Even if it was chocolate chip cookies, anything they're together on, I'm against.
especially if it's chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, please. And, you know, they're not for anyone. They're not for jobs. They're for themselves, the two of them. And this is what the voters get for voting for those two idiots.
Well, now they have to be held accountable.
Well, I hope so.
And so we'll see if either Republicans or Democrats take them to task. But I have a feeling there'll be another issue that will rise and take all of our attention. And they'll go back to bashing Trump in solidarity along with everyone else. And naturally, they'll all be consumed with that instead of focusing on a situation we can control. Trump has nothing to do with this.
Right.
This is something we control.
Well, I hope someone takes care of this. I don't know who, but maybe you could do something, Curtis. See,
well,
I was wanting you for mayor.
I understand that. I understand. But let's give some of these elected officials a little time so they can lick their finger, stick it up, see which way the wind is blowing, and then see if they have enough huevos, if they have enough culiones to stand up to Cuomo, who will threaten them, and de Blasio, who will threaten them.
And Curtis, you brought up an interesting point about DiNapoli, too, because his role in this, so far, his name has not really emerged. And you're bringing it up an excellent point that needs to be looked into. Because clearly, he was in the loop in this.
He's got to sign the checks.
That's what I'm saying.
He's supposed to be the controller.
Some question to him.
And where is that Nevesi Shlubby Mangaluk? Mangaluk, right? That Scott Stringer wants to be our next mayor over our dead bodies combined. Normally, he's always squawking. He's got a press conference today. You'd figure he'd say, hey, you know, I was never consulted. I'm going to have to sign off on these checks to the richest guy in the world, Jeff Bezos, running one of the richest corporations, Amazon. But they're ducking for cover because they want Bezos dollars, too. Because DiNapoli wants to be the next governor and Scott the Mama Luke Stringer wants to be the next mayor.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
Here on 77 WABC, you're listening to Curtis and Cosby in the warm NJDiet.com studios. Again, as you're hearing, a winter storm is already on its way. Some of our area already getting a little bit of a light dusting and expected to turn to rain later on. But definitely New York will get some, New Jersey, Connecticut, all of us will get some. If it hasn't started already in your area, the burst big snowstorm of the season. And if you want to look and you want to snuggle up with the cold weather, you know, and you want to think about your relationship, look at your mother. And you always, you know, you sort of always hear the phrase, okay, well, how is the girl going to look out? Well, look at the mother, see how the mother is. And now a new study says that this is for guys and for gals. And it's not just, you know, hereditary, your genes and a lot of other things and how you look, but it's also your love life. A new study actually followed, Curtis, a whole bunch of people, single and married, and they determined the way that your mom had relationships and the way she handled relationships, whether it was a happy marriage or a disjointed marriage, whether she had even some psychological problems, that often directly gets passed on to the kids. And more than you realize, it might come out years later. I think about, Curtis, I think about some of the real craziest cases. You think about Alfred Hitchcock, who said that he had a very traumatic relationship with his mother.
Sure.
And boy, did he have freaky deaky movies. That director, you think of Psycho and all of these other movies that came out.
It turned out that Alfred Hitchcock, unbeknownst to us, was the Harvey Weinstein of his time. I mean, this guy was like a perv extraordinaire. While the birds were outside your door, he was perving on you inside your door.
Look out for the birds. So the birds should have been the warning sign in that particular case, Curtis.
Right. But anyway, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us, as we're hermetically sealed in here against the inclement weather by NJDiet.com, I would have to agree with the study when it comes to me. every time I got serious about one of the ladies that I was dating in my life, my mother, Francesca, no longer here on this plane, would say, and when are you going to bring your new girlfriend around the house in Canarsie? And I'd say, well, we'll work on it. And normally that time would eventually come. And after my mother would meet with her and have a conversation with her, she would take me aside and say, Curtis, one yam, meaning kid, child.
Yeah, what is that, one yam?
One yam.
One yam.
It would always be fatali fatatu, watch yourself. Quando si mangia non si parli, right? You should be eating, not talking.
I got that one, yeah.
But then when all of a sudden we were on the side, she would say to me, now, Curtis, do you really love this woman? And I would say, Mom, yes, I do. Then you have to do the right thing. You have to marry her, Curtis.
And you're like, wait, I've only got on one date.
No, it was usually after I had seen these women for quite some time. She said, you know, you really have to do the honorable thing and marry this woman. Does this woman love you? I believe so. And then she would have a conversation with the woman I was with. And naturally, the woman would be nodding her head. And the next thing you know, I'd be walking down the aisle saying, what the hell am I doing here?
By the way, mine was the opposite. My mother, even though, my mother actually got married late, especially for that generation. Both my parents got married kind of late. Granted, they were both wartime children and my father was in the war. But so they married late. But my mother would go, he's a nice guy, he's handsome, but she'd pull me aside and say, you know, wait. Granted, my parents got divorced. And so maybe that was part of it, too, because, my parents had a pretty abrupt divorce. I've talked about it very publicly. And so maybe, my mom would be like, nice guy, but he's not good enough for you, Rita. Nobody was good enough. So the poor guy, I'd always dread. My mother seemed very nice on the surface, but I always dread bringing the guy over because I knew she'd ring him through the ringer.
Yeah, well, I know my father, Chester, who's also passed, he would never intervene. He would never say one way or the other. But basically it was my mom who had put the pressure on by basically, now she would say, now if you don't love this woman, if it's just an infatuation, Curtis, one yeah, if it's just an infatuation, I understand you do not want to marry this woman. But if you truly love this woman and she truly loves you, you must do the honorable thing. You must marry her. And there I go again, and I'd say, how did I get hooked into this? But
Blame it on mama.
No. She just had that kind of influence on me. And I'd be interested to know is that would you blame your mom if your love life sucked or if actually your love life turned out well because she gave you good guidance, she mentored you well? And what role, if any, did your dads play in this whole scenario? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
I think sometimes, Curtis, too, you look later in life, and I think, I see things that I learned from both of my parents, and sometimes it takes years later that you realize, oh gosh, I am similar to them. So I'm curious, too, from our listeners, how much now that you look back in hindsight, did you learn from your mother and learn behavior, good and bad? Because they also say that if your mom was kind of flaco, your mom was like, not the greatest with relationships. And you can see that in like broken households where mom was, sort of all over the place and maybe having lots of guys or dating or whatever, and maybe not home, maybe not the greatest parent or whatever. And that wasn't the case. My mother was a great mom, but my parents did get divorced pretty abruptly. But you also see when you see these disentangled relationships, that often you see guys with disentangled relationships, particularly because I think there's something about a guy and his mother and I think also my mother and I were best friends, but I also think sometimes the daughters look to the dad too, and that role is also really important.
Oh yeah, daddy's little girl, and daughters tend to clash with their mothers. It wasn't just that way in our family growing up in Canarsie with my two sisters. But it tends to be that way in other families I've looked at. Mm-hmm. The mothers clash with the daughters, and the daughters, the daddy can do no wrong. Daddy could be the worst imaginable human being, a real jadrul, a knuckle dragger. But, hey, I'm daddy's little girl. He can do no wrong. Mom, who is like the stable element of the family, right, this constant conflict. Whereas with guys, you're absolutely right. That's why the term Mama Luke, mama's boys, They have more of an affinity to the mother, even though they may look up to the father and the father is a male role model in the household. they still, there's that attraction to the mother where if the mother suggests something, even though the guy may be saying, oh, the mother's a real nudge, she's a yenta, she's nonstop, that subliminally it has an effect on you more so than what your father's saying.
Yeah, I think so too. I think there's sort of this like soft spot for the mom for the guys and vice versa. But also, you know, sometimes the mom has, in my case, you know, the mom had to be the disciplinarian because the dad wasn't home that much. So it was like, you know, dad didn't have to necessarily be the disciplinarian every day. And he would kind of, I think there's a tendency of cutting your daughter some slack. But I do think when you look back, how much did your mom or did your dad, was it your mom more? This study says your mom plays a bigger role, with guys and with gals. That your relationship, you look at your mother, not just how you look, because there's always that phrase too. You know, you always hear guys say, should I marry this woman? Well, look at the mom. That's what she's going to look like in like 20, 30 years. Now they say, how does the mom act? Because that's how you're going to act.
On numbers, 1-800-848-WABC, what role, if any, did your mommy play in your relationships? And did you get married because of your mother's influence? Or did you not pursue a relationship because of your mother's influence? That's what this study is suggesting. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Billy calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Billy.
Hi, Bill.
Curtis, when it comes to marriage, you're just a loser at it. Please, you've been married 5 times. You must be a terrible husband. Who would you blame for that?
Oh, no. I'm telling you the circumstance. I take full responsibility for my love life and my relationships and my marriages and my divorces.
But was it mama? Is that mama's
fault? But I'm
fault?
Telling you, Bill, to be completely honest, when it would get to that point where my mother would see I was serious about a woman, she would want to meet the woman. She would want to talk to the woman. She would want to talk to me. And I always felt it was that pressure that, in fact, if I was telling the truth to my mother, and she said, you really love this woman? Oh, yeah. The next thing is you have to do the honorable thing and marry her.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, see, Curtis is blaming it on mama.
That's
he's blaming mama.
Good luck with this one, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one's a keeper. This one with Nancy's a keeper.
But wait a minute. He said 5. There's 4 marriages, right?
I've lost count.
Yeah, see, he said 5. I was waiting for it, Curtis.
I think officially... Officially, right, I've had, let me look. There
yeah, come was, on, let's go through, right.
Okay, there was Corinne, that
right,
was my
Corinne.
First wife.
Right, there's Corinne, that's
then
one.
Then there's Lisa that most people know.
Yep, on TV, yep,
then there's
Fox
Mary.
5. Right, Mary.
And now there's Nancy.
That's
so
what
Nancy
I'm saying.
Is my 4th marriage, although I've had some other long-term relationships that are not marriages, but quite frankly, I was living common law.
You know what, Curtis? I have to laugh. How many times, how funny is that? He called up and said 5. And I was waiting to see if you were going to correct him. And you weren't even sure.
Well, I was
you
counting on my fingers.
Sure.
Right. I was
you
counting on
sure
my fingers.
You weren't even sure how many marriages you had, my friend. That's how many marriages
you had.
Well,
does this make me a Mama Luke because I'm blaming it on my mother, Francesca, no longer here on this plane?
She can't defend herself.
That's right.
You're blaming
she can't defend
it on,
herself.
On
but
poor
I'm just
Francesca.
Telling you my perception of how I ended up getting entrapped in marriages. That I recognize this is not what I really want to do.
You are throwing your mother under the bus.
I'm sorry, Mom.
You are throwing Mama under the bus,
my friend. I'll
tell you
what, I'll go to the Novena on Monday. I'll light a few candles in your name. And I'll also do a Stations of the Cross, which I haven't done in a month of Sundays, in your name as we approach the Easter holidays.
They're going to see you at church and go, I'm sorry, have we ever met before?
Our numbers, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Connie Francis, some have said, was born in Newark. I say was born in Crown Heights in Brooklyn. That argument will continue. But let's go to the phones about Mama's influence on all of you, you Mama Lukes, you Mashads out there, in terms of determining what kind of love life you are going to have. Let's go to Eli, who's calling from Rockland. Welcome to WABC, Eli.
Hi, Eli.
Hey there, how are you?
What do you think? Did Mama play a role in your life?
Yes, absolutely. Hopefully for the best, I would say, but primarily growing up, you know, I saw my mother, God bless her. She's a great woman. You know, my father, God bless him. He's a fantastic guy. But, you know, they never really connected the way I thought two people could connect, you know, when they really got to know each other and respected and love each other. So it really did inspire me to see my mother, a good lady, just not really with the, maybe not really with the right guy. Made me really want to find a girl to treat right and really respect.
All right, so other than role modeling over what you saw your mother and father and their relationship, did she ever have a heart-to-heart with you as her son and tell you, hey, this is what you got to do if you're going to get serious in a relationship?
Oh, absolutely, all the time. I am definitely what you would call a mama's boy. Yeah.
Oh, so you're a Mama Luke.
He's
you're
a Michonne. But you know what? Eli brings up a good point, because sometimes people see things that maybe, like you said, they didn't have necessarily the perfect relationship, too. And sometimes you learn that, okay, well, you don't want to be like mom, too.
That's exactly right.
You know, well, sometimes it's a hard lesson.
Obviously, Eli, you had a stable relationship at home between your mom and dad. Unfortunately, so many households, they don't have that. It's generally the mother's at home, the dad's away because he's being told you can't come there any longer. Maybe for visitation, but you're not going to live there any longer. And they have their battles back and forth, and that impacts on kids. Or mamas who will tell young ladies, you're gonna have a relationship. You better not come back with a little oven and a little loaf of bread in
you
that
made a
oven.
A little bun in there, huh?
You better not get pregnant, or else.
Yeah, that's always an awkward conversation with your mom.
But it's a needed one.
Yeah, whenever it is. My mom just said to me one time, "Are you doing something? And if you are, you're gonna do something to protect yourself."
Exactly.
And I said, "Mom, I'm not doing anything. But if it ever happened,"
that was literally my entire birds and the bees. I'm sure
that was it.
Although I've never had that conversation with my mother, because obviously I'm a guy and I'm not a
mom. Your mom never discussed it with you?
Prophylactics?
Did your dad ever discuss it?
Oh, of course, my dad. He was a seaman.
But
the condoms they had back then were the size of tires. You know, they had more rubber on a condom back then than they did have on tire tread on your Goodyear tires.
Sounds like a very appealing relationship.
No, never liked those Jimmy caps as a result. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Pat in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. I'm saying, did you ever see The Birdman of Alcatraz?
Oh, yeah. With
Burt Lancaster?
Yes, I was about to say Burt Lancaster. Based on the life of Robert Stroud, the inmate. A real life story.
Yes. His mother was a horror. His mother was probably the reason that he wound up in jail.
Yeah, you know what? I brought up Hitchcock, because Hitchcock said he had a tumultuous relationship with his mother, and it sort of later inspired him. Look at the crazy films, The Birds, Psycho. So I think it does, don't you? If you have a really over-dominating mother.
A total weirdo. I mean, he ignored her in the end when he got out of jail. At the end, he told her that the woman that he wanted to marry, she told him she was no good, and she would have really saved him. But she was just a rotten mother.
Yeah, a lot of these mothers, sometimes they can be very manipulative and jealous mothers, too. That's sad.
Mommy dearest.
Yes, exactly. That's so sad.
Although, in the case of what we saw Burt Lancaster in The Birdman, that was a romanticized version. Apparently, he was like a psychotic killer. I think he killed a jail guard. I think he may have even killed another inmate.
And then he was upset.
But he loves birds.
But
he loved birds.
Yes, he was upset. Remember when he moved from one prison to the other, because they said in Alcatraz you can't keep pets.
Right.
And that's when he went crazy, that he couldn't keep his birds.
Let's go to Greg in Warwick. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Greg.
Hey, guys. Great show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Greg.
Now, let's see. Most parents today, when you have to tell your kids about the birds and the bees, it's like walking through a minefield. It is the most terrifying thing you have to do.
So how did you do it? Because I gave you, literally, that was the entire discussion I had with my mother my entire life about the birds and the bees. That was it, 5 seconds.
Yeah, don't get pregnant.
No, well, if you're going to do something, use this. My mother knew. I've always been a pretty shrewd cookie.
Yeah, she'd go to the sink. She'd say, you see this sponge here? Well, they got sponges that'll prevent you from getting pregnant. And probably started working down the laundry list from there, Greg.
My mother was not good at cooking and cleaning. She could not find a sponge if she tried.
But you're right, Greg. From time to time, the mothers of my three sons will say, hey, you really need to have a conversation with your sons about the birds and the bees. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah, that's horrible. Have you? Or no, you didn't. You haven't talked to them, have you, at all?
No, I've skirted the issue.
I haven't talked to my son, but my father, the way he did it was really fun.
So what did he do?
First of all, we were finding a TV where he lived, and he goes, "You know all about the birds and the bees stuffs, right?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Okay, good, done."
Oh, that's it. That was like basically what my mother did. I think they came from the same generation.
See, my father, because he was a merchant seaman, he said, "Hey, look, son, if you get frisky, you wash yourself with this blue soap. The blue soap."
Oh, my God.
Which was like toxic. He said it'll kill anything that is alive, and that includes germs and infections.
Oh,
and then he
God.
Said, "Hey, and you know, there are these condoms. And I got to tell you, they were the size of Goodyear tires back then and just as thick."
You sound like a real hot catch to go after with the blue soap.
Hey, Dad, you know something? Forget the Jimmy Caps. Forget the condoms. But anyway, up next, we're going to be talking about the new Monopoly. I didn't know there was a Monopoly specifically created by the Parker Brothers, Hasbro, for millennials and hipsters, but it's a lot different than the Monopoly we grew up playing, or even the ones, the Monopoly, the new version that I play with my two youngest sons who love Monopoly. But we're going to ask our resident hipster and millennial that I hate, I loathe, I despise, Brian Mongalucci, to come in and break it down for us. But first, let's get our news headlines and updates. .239, when you were young whippersnappers, I'm sure many of you played the Parker Brothers, now Hasbro's, Monopoly game. And recently they came out with a new edition that I sit in whenever it's inclement weather, and I'm doing my visitation with my two youngest sons, Carter, who's 10, and Hunter, who's 7. They want to play the new Monopoly, which engages them into bamboozling me out of homes and properties, and they hope I land in jail, and they hope I go bankrupt. And I said, let me tell you, see, kid, I'm ready to say if my child support doesn't meet up to snuff, that's where I'll be, in jail.
I was going to say, it sounds like your ex-wives are playing this game.
Right, but no, my youngest son, Hunty, he's like a real estate demon.
Demon, yeah.
Because he's looking to take everybody's real estate. He's like wanting to charge me double rent when I land on his property. Baltic, right? You land on Baltic. That's like low budget, right? And he says, hey, I'm not giving you no slack, Daddy.
It's a great, by the way, I love Monopoly. I used to play it all the time with my mom and my dad. It was like sort of a family bonding experience. And it fits, and I think also New Yorkers love it too, because it makes you feel like a junior Trump, you know, a junior
a junior
real estate tycoon.
Rena, you can't declare Chapter 11 five times when you play Monopoly.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize that.
If
okay,
you declare Chapter 11, you lose. You go to jail.
Well, Chapter 11 Monopoly is when you flip the board game over and you stomp off and leave.
You end up going to jail.
By the way, we got to tell everybody that is our Brian Mongalucci that we're hearing here, because he is our resident millennial. And that's why we had to bring him in, because there's a new millennial version.
Yeah, so we have the old version, the original Parker's Brother version. We have the updated version that I play with my youngest sons. And now there's a third version that Hasbro has put out, new Monopoly for millennials. And they claim that it's an insulting experience that you millennials, when you play it, it's like self degradation.
Well, first of all, I gotta say, Monopoly, the best board game out there. I don't care what anyone says. Hands down, best board game out there.
I love it, Bri. Why do you like it? Why do you like it too?
Just like you guys said, like, you obviously play it when one that's it's stormy outside, like right today.
Yeah,
it's stormy right now.
Exactly.
It was a perfect day for it. And I remember the last time I played Monopoly and really got really serious, Hurricane Sandy. We had no power for 7 days. So what you do, you pop out Monopoly. Now, I had the electric Monopoly, the one with like credit cards, like fake credit cards.
Ooh.
So you couldn't cheat. Because you know, the bankers also plays too.
Of course.
They'll cheat. Oh, here's the next 100 for me. $100 you go pass go. No. When you have the electrical Monopoly with the fake credit cards, you have to literally program the money.
Now,
so you can't skim off the top.
You can't use a debit card. It has to be a credit card.
Yeah, it has to be a credit card. Right.
Okay.
No debit card. Right.
No debit.
There's no PIN code here.
I'm not going to be able to compete.
Now, what about moving? moving the pieces. Like, I sort of do that in golf. Like, my foot kind of accidentally hits the ball, and then it goes into the hole.
Oh, yeah, no.
But that happens with the pieces sometimes when I play.
Yeah, sometimes you can't count, you know?
That's
eight, Chuck. Take it easy, okay? Go back one spot.
Right.
But no, I think it's great. I mean, but then again, it kind of is competitive. You know, people kind of get their feelings hurt, you know, when you land on a property.
Now, jail, because we're talking real estate and property acquisition and swapping.
Well, you know more about jail than we do. Than
right.
Brian and
is
I
it
know.
A white-collar jail, you know, like Camp Fed in the new millennial version of Monopoly?
Yeah, it's probably you're on, you know, baseball fields or softball fields.
Right.
Probably there's slow-pitch softball. You have an option to get out, but you really want to stay in because you get three meals in a cot, and, you know, you're probably the commissioner of some football.
Right, so you never want to leave jail. But you are our resident millennial hipster, as our producer and our board operator and our Monopoly aficionado, the old school one,
yeah,
the sort of new and improved one. But this millennial one, have you played it yet?
No, I haven't played it yet. I didn't go to Walmart yet and pick it up for $20.
You can't go in New York to get it.
No,
because it's Walmart.
I'll have my mom pick it up or something like that, because that's a millennial move, right? Have my mom go
of course,
pick it up
of course,
and pay for it.
Because you're a real Michelle.
Yeah,
real
exactly.
Mama Lou.
No, there's no Walmart in New York. That's what I'm saying. You can't go here and get it.
No, I haven't played it yet. I mean, am I going to go buy it? Of course I'm going to go and buy it. Mom, just pick it up for me. Thank you. But no, it's great though. Think about it. You know, you have, Uncle Penny Bags on the box.
Yes.
He has his earbuds in. He's taking a selfie. This is fantastic. And he has a participation medal. I mean, it's better than this.
Now, you know what's
it's
funny?
It's the typical millennial.
What? But what it says on are you not insulted by the cover, Bri? Because
no,
the cover says, forget real estate. You can't afford it anyway.
Which is true. 100%. I get that. But everybody gets his panties in a bundle because, you know, their feelings are hurt. I mean, come on. This is fun. Have some fun with this.
So, hold on a second. It's degrading millennials and hipsters like yourself.
It is trashing. Trashing.
I don't say it's trashing. It's real. I mean, every millennial you see has earphones in. They have their sunglasses on. They get a trophy for losing. It's so true. I mean, nothing's wrong about it. It's right.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners out there whether they're old school Monopoly players or the newer board edition that I play with my youngest sons, or in this case, Hasbro's new Monopoly for millennials, which is apparently quite the insulting experience for millennials. But you love it,
but
Brian.
And get this. You know the game pieces? When you guys played, you had like the car.
The top hat.
The top hat.
The Scotty dog.
The thimble, right, for sewing, right?
Yep, yep.
Now they have crying emojis and hashtags.
Yeah, cameras.
That's so
sunglasses.
Cool. Right?
Crying emojis.
By the way,
why? Because you couldn't pay the rent?
Right, exactly. You know, you live in your parents' basement. You're trying to get out, but you can't.
Now, my favorite part, the destinations. The hottest destination of all is couch surfing.
Right?
Yeah, there's not a physical place. You can't go buy, Baltic Ave. You can't buy Atlantic Ave. You got to buy a couch surfing.
Oh, man, I love couch surfing.
Well, let's open up our phone lines. Our phone lines, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, a lot of people who've done successfully in the real estate market, even going back to Tom Vu, remember that Vietnamese refugee who was like on late at night saying, all I do is I trade paper. I give you no money. You give me no money. I'm billionaire.
Sure. It sounds familiar.
Right. Tom Vu. Remember,
at like 3 in the morning.
He was
right?
in Palm Beach County. You know, he had all these blondes, on his yacht.
Right.
And he said, you think these blondes like me? They don't like me. They like my money.
Yes, I remember that. At least he was honest.
Right,
I remember that.
Almost all these people attribute their success in real estate to first playing Monopoly.
100%. It's so great because you want to create that empire. You want to be that guy every time they get something. Oh, my God. I didn't land it on Brian's property. I landed on Curtis's properties. I landed on Rita's properties. You want to be that guy. You want to own all four of the railroads. You want to own the water company. You want to own electrical. You want to be that guy in Monopoly.
So it's a psychological of like being a titan. It's like
right,
like almost like winning the lottery. It's like this
100%.
Fantasy of like owning it all.
Paying up.
It creates bad blood, though.
Between
my youngest son, Hunter, who's 7, and Carter, who's 10.
Wait, they got
because
in fights?
Hunter, no. Hunter is like the potential real estate mogul. He'll probably end up in Camp Fed at the rate he goes when he cheats in Monopoly. But The reality is he wins all the time. He beats me. He beats Carter. Carter, you know, me. I have money and real estate never factored into my
thinking. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm really good at that. I'm actually, because I think girls are good at money and, like, strategy. There's some good chess players out there, too.
Do you have a strategy with it, Rita, how you play Monopoly?
Yeah, I when they go to the bathroom, I cheat.
No, there it is.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Mikey calling from Monroe. Welcome to Curtis, Rita, and Brian Mongalooch, Mike.
Hey, Brian Mongalooch and Curtis and Rita. Funny. I've called a few times, Curtis and Rita, but here's an idea. As I see the snow falling in Monroe, we're the same age, Curtis. We mentioned that before, whatever. We've been around the block a few times, happily divorced, two kids. How about you play Monopoly, and then someone buys a jug of wine, and as H1 sips the wine, and you roll the dice, every spot you move, you remove an article of clothing.
What's the drinking game? Why am I drawing
like
a blank?
Strip poker?
Strip Monopoly?
Strip Monopoly. By the way, you know, but Mike, somehow the thimble doesn't inspire me to drink, or the little Scotty dog. Somehow
well,
that doesn't.
Your game is Rita. It's like the W.C. Fields school of maneuvering. Anything worth having is worth cheating for. So if someone goes in the bathroom, then someone sips the wine and cheats a little.
Now you're talking my language, Mike. Now you got me, baby.
That sounds like something that would happen on the boardwalk.
Oh, yeah, right?
That sounds like
definitely
on the boardwalk. Right,
afraid of Monopoly in the red light district in Amsterdam.
Is that happening on Park Ave, though?
Yeah, probably too.
So,
right?
With you millennials having perfected the art of being couch potatoes, living to be a couch potatoes,
sure.
So basically live life on a sofa. This is a game that has spanned the ages, generations,
right?
And yet, millennials and hipsters, with all these variations that have been made, are still addicted to it. Like baby boomers have been and still are, and even that generation in between.
Yeah, I mean, it's also just like with TV shows, too, Kurt. I mean, obviously, Monopoly is a timeless game.
Yes.
Everyone played it. We all played it.
Yep.
But even if you look at TV shows, look at Seinfeld, it's timeless.
Yep.
Frasier, timeless.
But now what about
Friends,
when I say to
timeless.
My younger sons, I say, would you like to play Parcheesi? They look at me like,
yeah, no, not that.
Parcheesi.
They say no, pass the crackers. They
right.
think it's something.
Like, what's that?
But card games, you guys. I think of card games too, because like poker and some of these games, they're timeless. You
Blackjack,
know?
Yeah.
Uno, you know,
Uno, Goldfish.
Yeah, there's some. I've had some. Had some good wins on those.
Yeah, I mean, even Uno can get kind of competitive too.
Oh, you bet.
I mean, you spin that card around, and you get yellow. Come on, and you got to pick up another card, and then you spin it back around again, and that person wins.
Brian, is your life so meaningless? So bereft of anything serious to do.
Can I answer that question? Can I answer that question?
Spending all your life playing these games.
No, I don't spend all my time playing these games. They're just like they're just memories of my life. No?
Oh yeah, memories. Yeah. Oh my God. Can you imagine being married? Now he's married too. His poor wife. You know,
she's
honey?
Competitive too. She's
competitive.
She is.
By the way, I believe
100%.
Deanna's a sharp cookie.
She is.
I believe that. I believe she's
feisty.
Okay, we're gonna play you. Deanna and I are gonna play you and Curtis sometime, and we're gonna kick your patooties.
Anyway. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And by the way,
yes,
who gets to land on Amazon now?
Right? Exactly, right? It's Long Island City.
Right, right. Long Island
yes,
City.
Exactly.
You have Google there.
Right.
You have Amazon.
Facebook,
you have
Twitter.
JetBlue, right?
Right, exactly.
You see that? You're gonna have a Monopoly game just based on all the Fortune 500 companies that will soon be occupying
and then
Long
do,
Island City.
You can also do bridges, too.
Bridges,
you know
that's
who's
right.
going to land on Amazon? Attorneys. Attorneys are going to land on Amazon.
Bridges, tunnels. Wow. It could be a fourth adaption of Monopoly.
Yeah. Pretty cool, right?
And
just on infrastructure.
You got the community chest. You got the jail, which Cuomo should be in and de Blasio should be in for corruption. This is great. Who knows what may come out of this thinking process? 1-800-848-WABC. No doubt there'll be further developments in this backroom Amazon deal that transpired 48 hours ago between Cuomo, de Blasio, and Jeff Bezos. Be interesting to see how the Monopoly board sizes up in Long Island City.
Yeah, and by the way, the storm is not just going to be there. It is already outside, Curtis. Everybody drive safe. It's going to be a messy night tonight and also into tomorrow.
Anyway, up next, it's Michael Savage. And then you know the rest of the lineup. You should. It's Shapiro, Levin, and Bachelor.